You know, the family is a wonderful thing. It was created by God. In fact, the three main institutions that make up the world today, the family, the government, and the church, were all made by God, created by God, designed by God, put together by God. And of those three, the home, or the family, was created first. And it existed a long time before God made the government, God made the church. And it was God's intent that every person have every need that they have met by the family. That's the way He designed it. All our physical needs, our need for sustenance, our need for shelter, all the physical needs that we have, God intended for the family to meet those needs. All our emotional needs, the need to be loved, the need to love others, God intended to take place in the family. And all our spiritual needs, God's primary place for those spiritual needs to be met were in the family. We've been studying in our Sunday school lessons the past 4 weeks about the home and about the family. And it was the place that God created and intended for us to learn about Him, for us to worship Him, for us to share Him. Of course, now, when the church came along, as we studied about last week, the role of the church is to help the family. But it was God's primary intent for the family or the home to be the place where people learned about God. And it's God's intent that the family stay together. Back in Bible days, you go back to the New Testament, and you read about different people and their families in the Old Testament, and there's mom and dad and their children, and maybe their grandchildren, but there's also grandpa and grandma and great-grandma and grandpa. They stayed together as a family. In the early days of our country, when we were primarily a rural farm nation, that's the way it existed back then. Families stayed together. They worked the farm together, and there were many generations that lived in the same place, in the same home. And I can't help but think how displeased God is today, how we live our lives, where families are separated by miles of geography. And I know sometimes that cannot be helped. I know sometimes different things take us away from our families, but I don't think God intended it that way. I think it really displeases God when, for lack of time, we don't spend together as a family, because we don't make the time or take the time. We're so busy in making a living and so busy in everything else that we have to do, and usually the place that's neglected is the family, spending time together as a family. And I think God is displeased by that. And then I think He's most displeased when we don't stay together because of lack of care. Or we just don't care enough to get together, to stay together as a family. And it's a terrible, terrible thing when a family breaks apart. It was a terrible thing in the first few chapters of Genesis where Cain killed Abel and broke the first family in all of history apart. It was a terrible thing when Absalom killed his brother and went into exile and broke David's family apart. It was a terrible thing when the prodigal son left home, left his dad, left his brother, and went into a far country and broke his family apart. And so it's a terrible, terrible thing when the circle is broken. God doesn't like it when that happens. And if we were honest with ourselves, neither do we. I mean, if you got right down to the heart of it, if you got right down to the basic feeling I think that most people have, every single one of us would say, we want our family to stay together. We want our family to stay together. We don't like things that break our families apart. We don't like death when it comes and takes a family member. We don't like moves. We don't like how busy people are, how they can't get together for family times. We don't like outsiders that come and steal our kids and move them off to a distance. I'm talking about sons-in-laws most of the time. Now, if they stick around, they're okay. But if they want to move and take our kids away from us, we don't like them very much. God doesn't want families to break apart. I've been trying to help a guy at work the past few weeks. His 19-year-old single daughter had a baby. And dad said some things that he shouldn't have said. And his daughter said some things that she shouldn't have said in response to what dad said. And that family that was close, as far as I could tell, has been split apart. She left home for a while. He didn't know where she was. And I met with him a couple, 3 hours yesterday, just talking to the both of them together about what God intended the family to be. And so this morning, I have a one-point message, which is very unusual. Yes, you that are here can shake your heads. Very unusual. Just one point that I want to get across to every single person that's here, and that's this. And by the way, I had this message planned 4 weeks ago. It's been on my heart ever since, and the things that have happened the last few weeks have just deepened its impact upon me. Here's the one point I want to make this morning. If your family is split apart this morning by something that's fixable, then you do your best to fix it. If you're at odds with some member of your family, and I'm talking about your kids, I'm talking about your parents, I'm talking about your grandparents, I'm talking about your aunts or your uncles or your cousins. If there's something that can be fixed that's splitting you apart as a family, then this morning I want to encourage you to fix it. Here's what I want you to do. You're here. I want you to take the initiative. I want you to take the action. Most of you would say, well, this other person that I'm at odds with, he or she is stubborn anyway, they won't do it. Okay, then you take the initiative. You go to them. You start it. Don't set back, even though you might have been wronged, even though you were the one that was hurt, even though you were the one that the dirty deed was done to, don't you set back and wait for them to come to you. You take the initiative. You go to them. Number two, you take the wrong. You just go ahead and take the wrong. You say, but preacher, the wrong was done to me. I didn't do wrong to them. They did wrong to me. They wronged me. They cheated me. They said something about me that wasn't true. I was the one that was wronged in the deal. Doesn't matter. What I'm suggesting to you this morning is that you go ahead and take the wrong. You take the hurt. You take it like it was your fault. You take it like it was your doing. Take the initiative. Take the wrong. Number three, forgive. I don't care what kind of water has gone under the bridge. I don't care what kind of deed was done. I don't care what kind of act was taken. Forgive and forget. And you do what you can to restore that relationship within your family. I don't care if it's between brothers. I don't care if it's between sisters. I don't care if it's between children and parents. But you take the initiative to fix it. You take the wrong to fix it, and you do the forgiving to fix it. And I'll remind you this morning, that's exactly what God did for us. Every single person here this morning was created to be part of the family of God. That's why you were made. That's why God, and you say, well, I wasn't made, I was born. No, you were made by God, just like Eve and Adam were in the Garden of Eden. Every birth is a miracle of God, ordained by God, controlled by God. And every single person here this morning was created by God to be part of His family. The Bible says we were made in His image. The Bible teaches that we were made to fellowship with Him, as a child does with a parent. And you go back to the early chapter of Genesis and you read what it was like for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were children to God the Father. and He put them in that place, and He cared for them like a father does for his children. And He came and taught them, and He came and visited with them and fellowshiped with them. And just as much as Adam and Eve were created by God and were His children, it's God's intent that every single person here this morning be one of His children. That's why you were made. But there was something that broke apart God's family. That something is called sin. Instead of being obedient children, instead of doing things God's way, we, mankind, wanted our own way. We wanted to do what we wanted to do. We wanted to make our own choices. And by the way, folks, sin is not hard to understand. That's exactly what every sin is. It's deciding to do things our way instead of doing things God's way. It's deciding to do what we want instead of doing what God wants. And when sin crept into the human race in the Garden of Eden, and that sin was passed to all generations, that sin broke apart God's family, and every single one of us, until we come to know Jesus, are an estranged child from our Heavenly Father. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And every person here this morning may be a pretty good person, but in God's sight, in God's records, in God's balances, we are all short of His perfection. And that sin separates us from our God. But here's the good news. God did what I encourage you to do this morning. God took the initiative. He says, "I've got a plan." Sin has to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. Sin has to be paid for. My justice, God says, demands that. But God says, "I'm going to take the initiative. It was man that turned away from me. It was man that did me wrong. But I'm not going to wait for man to turn around and come back to me. I'm going to go to man. I'm not going to wait for him to come back and apologize to me. I'm going to go to him." And so God took the initiative. He says, I've got a plan. I'll send Jesus to pay for sin. And here's what God says. I'll take the wrong. I'll take the wrong. When Jesus went to the cross, He was a perfect, perfect person. He lived on earth for 33 years. Not one unkind word did He say in those 33 years. Not one evil thought did He have in those 33 years. That one time did He fail to do what God wanted Him to do. On several occasions, God looked down from heaven and He said, "This is my beloved Son. He's obedient. He does what I say." And when Jesus went to the cross, He had no sin for which to pay for. But He said this, "I'll take the wrong. I'll die for the murderer. I never committed murder, but I'll die for the murderer." He says, "I'll die for the thief. I never stole anything, but I'll die for the thief." He said, "I'll die for the person that cheats others." He said, "I never cheated anybody, but I'll die for the cheater." What Jesus said when He went to Calvary was, "I'll take the wrong." Some of you, a few moments ago when I said to heal that rift in your family, for you take the wrong, you said, "I can't do that. It's not my nature." You're exactly right. It's not your nature. You need God's nature to do it. You need God's nature to do it. Because that's exactly... You say, "Do you know how I would feel? This person in my family did me wrong. And do you know how it would make me feel for me to take the wrong?" How do you think Jesus felt when He hung on the cross dying for the prostitutes? How do you think Jesus felt when He died on the cross for all the drug dealers? How do you think Jesus felt when He died on the cross for all those that are involved in child pornography? He took the wrong. He wasn't wrong. He took the wrong. Brother Wendell sang a moment ago, they drove nails through His hands and through His feet. He died on Calvary's cross. He shed His perfect blood for us. He paid the price for my sin. He paid the price for your sin. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. For 3 days and three nights he lay in that tomb. And then from that tomb, after 3 days and three nights in the grave, he arose. He defeated death. He defeated the stranglehold that sin had on every single person. And because he came back to life, because he was resurrected, he now has the ability and the power to go to every single person and say, I took the wrong. I took the initiative. I took the wrong. I offer you my forgiveness. And now the question is, will you take it? Will you take it? Hey, Dick, stand up for just a minute. Let me illustrate exactly what I'm talking about. I want you to understand exactly what I'm talking about. Just pretend that Dick and I are brothers. We're brothers. Dick cheats me. Costs me a lot of money. Says some things that are untrue. And there's a split that develops between the two of us. Now I could, like many people do, just sit back and say, well, he's the one that did me wrong. I'm just going to wait for him to come to me. He's the one that cheated me. He's the one that stole money from me. He's the one that lied about me. I'm just going to wait for him to come and make it right. That's what I'm asking you to do this morning. What I'm asking you to do is catch a little bit of God's Spirit and do this. And go to your brother or your sister or your mother or your father or whoever you are at odds with this morning inside of your family and say, Dick, I did you wrong, and I'm sorry, and I apologize. I don't want this rift between us anymore. I want us to be brothers again. Will you forgive me?
Yes.
And see, that's exactly, thank you, that's exactly what God did to us. We were sinners. We deserved hell. We deserve the eternal punishment that awaits and it is promised to the sinner. And we were split apart from our Heavenly Father because of what we did. But God came to us and he said, I'll take the wrong. I'll take the wrong. I'll put it on Christ. And I'll send him to Calvary and have him die for your sin. And he died and was buried and was resurrected. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. Because he was resurrected, he can come to every single person this morning and offer forgiveness for your sin. The question is, will you take it? Will you take it? Brother Chuck read from our scripture, from the scripture just a moment ago, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's how you get back into the family for which you were created. That's how you get back into God's family. You come through Jesus. You come to him. He died for you. Come and receive him. That verse promises that God will make you a son. He'll restore you to the family from which sin drove you away. It's important this morning that we get our family relations healed. The earthly family relations, we need to get them healed. And if you're here and you have a rift in your family, and I'd like you to go out this afternoon or tomorrow or just as soon as you can and get that rift healed. And if you're here today and you have there's a rift between you and God, I don't want you to wait for this afternoon. I don't want you to wait for tomorrow. I want you to get it healed right now. And the only way you can get it healed is come to the great physician. Come to the one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you'll come to Christ this morning, he'll put you back in the family. He'll make you a son. Give you eternal life, give you a home in heaven, give you all the good things that are part of being a part of the family of God. And so I appeal to every single person here this morning that's never said yes to Jesus. Every single person that's still separated from God, would you come to the one that could get you back in the family? Would you come to the one that died for you? Would you come to the one that wants to, that loved you, as Brother Wendell sang about just a moment ago? And would you come so that the circle would not be broken? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simple word. Thank you for the picture that it paints for us about how much you loved us. Thank you for it, that it tells us about how Jesus went to the cross to die for us. And I pray this morning, in a crowd this big, there must be somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. There must be somebody here that isn't for sure that they're on their way to heaven. And Father, I pray this morning that that one would come and receive what Christ purchased for them on Calvary. I pray they'd come and let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Make it so, Father. Make it so. And then, Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that have rifts in their earthly family. I pray they'll follow your example. I pray they'll take the initiative, and I pray they'll take the wrong, and I pray they'll offer forgiveness to the one that did them wrong. That would please you. And so, Father, I pray you'd make that so as well. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So I pray you'd speak to our hearts. And I pray you'd do in our hearts right now what only you can do. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would not let this time be in vain, that you would claim a soul, there are many souls, for Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.